Good morning, good noon time, good noon 30, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good midnight, whatever time of day it is. Listen up. I want you to know, hey, I'm Lynn Ferguson and I approve this message. I'm Lynn Ferguson, also known as Lynn Tennyson, your host here on the show, Lynn Spins. It's a podcast dedicated to Black life in America and all over the world in music. And today, we are going to get into the Oklahoma officials who have just been ousted for racism. And I will be delving into the Coretta Scott King versus Lloyd Jowers case. If you don't know who that is or what this all is about, stay tuned, sit back, relax, grab a snack, why don't you pull up a stack, and let's jump in. Lynn's next. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, we've got people out here literally, I need people to understand this. They're literally trying to ban the study of African American history. This is what they're doing. And it's so funny because I brought this up to this dude who I've known for some years, and I could never be around him for too long because we always get into political debates. But he basically was like, oh, well, there shouldn't be one anyway. And he's Black. This is a Black dude. This got like one of the most African sounding names I've ever heard an American, you know, who was born here have, you know? And his first and his last name. So African sounding. And it's crazy because I'm like, so what? And of course, he's over here trying to say some dumb shit like, we should just have world history. But it's like, if it was taught white, right, and not white, then you'd have an argument. But we've already grown up with world history. And guess what? It didn't teach us shit about racism. It taught us barely anything about that. It taught us barely anything about segregation. I didn't learn in school, in college or in high school, that Fred Hammond was killed. Well, actually, I did learn that in college. And not Fred Hammond. Oh my gosh. Fred Hammond. What do you call it? I didn't learn in school or college, in high school or college, or in middle school or elementary school, that the Black Panthers and all kinds of stuff were being surveilled. I didn't learn about Angela Davis being in jail for decades until recently. I didn't learn about the Central Park Five. And if we had heard anything about it, they were completely condemned. I didn't learn in school about, you know, the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. being proven in a court case that was allegedly won by Coretta Scott King. Actually, why do I keep saying allegedly? Let me look this up right now. I mean, we already know that they killed Dr. Martin Luther King. Or, excuse me, let's be real about this. Since I'm a pre-law student, let me pull up JESSEA U.S. Law. That is where I've been looking a lot for my cases to do. My case brief, my mini briefs, and my iReacts and stuff like that. So, I've brought up Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther King III, Bernice King, Dexter Scott King, and Yolanda King plaintiffs, the Lloyd Jowers, and other unknown conspirators who are the defendants. And then they also include in this and Memphis Publishing Company intervener. So I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Intervener is not one I've learned about in class yet. So an intervener is a person, according to Bing, summarized from Merriam-Webster, Collins Dictionary, and three other sources. An inventor is a person who joins or interposes in a legal proceeding as a third party, either with the plaintiff or the defendant. So a written petition is usually required to become an intervener. Then Wikipedia, which I don't usually trust, I'm not even going to read that shit. The entry into a lawsuit by a third party into an existing civil case who was not named as an original party but has a personal stake in the outcome. So I wonder why exactly they joined the case. So, and that's the definition of, and that's the definition of intervene from law.cornell.edu, which I have been using a lot as well in my studies. But what this goes on to read, it just gives opinion, you know, after that first page of, you know, the filed case, December 13th, 1999. And this is in Shelby Circuit, over in the Supreme Court of Jackson, of Tennessee, at Jackson. So, goes into, we granted the application for permission to appeal filed by Memphis Publishing Company. So they're allowing them to intervene, doing business as the Commercial Appeal, as MPC. To consider whether the trial court had authority to deny MPC access to jury selection in a trial. To consider whether the trial court had authority to deny MPC access to jury selection in a trial ongoing in the Circuit Court of Shelby County. So for some reason, they intervened in this case because they wanted to select the jury. So who were they with? Were they working with the family? Or were they working with the accused? For the reasons discussed, we find that, sorry you guys, it's real windy over here in my apartment. And I have my windows open because it feels so good outside. And I don't know if it's on the heat or if it's on the air now. They like have these weird things going on with it where you can only turn on either the heat or the air, at different points in the year. One or the other. But it can only be one at a time. So like that whole part of the year, you can't use the other one. So anyway, for the reasons discussed, we find that the trial court did not have authority to deny the newspaper access to voir dire. And voir dire is basically jury selection. And we therefore vacate the order of the trial court denying MPC access to the voir dire and to the transcript of the voir dire proceedings. So they intervened because they wanted to, seems like they were kind of on the family side because they felt like the public needed to know about this case. This may be why I'm only seeing this little 3-page transcript of the case. You guys, this is very interesting. The plaintiffs, Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King III, Bernice King, Dexter Scott King, and Yolanda King, the family of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., have brought a wrongful death suit. Y'all get this. Have brought a wrongful death suit against the defendant Lloyd, with one L, Jowers, with a J, one of a number of alleged conspirators in the assassination of Dr. King. Y'all, what? Y'all, this is on law.justia.com. This is where I go. This is where my teachers have directed me to go for cases. You know what I'm saying? So because I was looking for Coretta Scott King versus the U.S. government or whatever, because that's what I've always heard this case introduced as. But like, it's not finding that. So like, it was only bringing up like Jowers and stuff. So I was like, who's this Jower guy? So we're going to look into him after I read the last bit of this. The trial of the case began on November 15, 1999 in the Circuit Court of Shelby County. On that date, trial court apparently acting sua sponte closed jury selection proceedings to the press. Now what's sua sponte? According to Cornell, sua sponte is a Latin word for of one's own accord or voluntarily, used to indicate that a court has taken notice of an issue on its own motion without prompting or suggestion from either party. I knew it was going to read party, but I had to make certain that I was reading that right by clicking it. So as a general rule, where grounds for dismissal exist and an action is subject to dismissal on a court's own motion. The trial court has the power to dismiss an action sua sponte. I'm going to look up how to pronounce that. For want of prosecution or failure to comply with the rules of civil procedure or a court's orders. So this reads, again, a trial court has the power to dismiss an action sua sponte for want of prosecution or failure to comply with the rules of civil procedure of a court's orders. A court may sua sponte enter a motion to dismiss for want of jurisdiction, even though both parties have agreed to appear in the court. But what would be the reason in this case is what I'm wondering. It's just ridiculous. It reads, MPC intervene in the proceedings on that date to object to the closure. The trial court, so what happened basically is they were in court, they both showed up, both parties, and the trial court was like, we're not gonna make this public. We're not gonna make the proceeding public, whatever. And the news was like, okay, well, wait a minute. You need to make this public, and they intervened in the proceedings on that date of 15th November in 1999 to object to the closure. Trial court refused to allow access to voir dire, stating, this case is such that I feel that the jurors should be protected from public scrutiny and that the public shall not be aware of who they are. I don't want, and I'm going to assure them when we voir dire them that they will remain anonymous. And for that reason, they will feel free to participate in the trial process. That's my ruling. The next morning, MPC again appeared to present for entry an order denying its request for access and reflecting the court's granting of permission to file an interlocutory appeal. Because voir dire had been completed the preceding day, MPC was requested that the trial court release the transcript of the proceedings, but the motion was denied. So they did not release the transcripts. MPC thereafter filed an application for permission to appeal pursuant to Tennessee law alternatively on November 19th. This is 4 days after the initial date of the 15th. The Court of Appeals denied the application. So they denied everything. On November 22nd of 99, MPC filed an application for permission to appeal pursuant to Tennessee rule. Alternatively, in this court, MPC also sought expedited review of the application on the 24th of the same year. This court granted the application. We now reverse and vacate the trial court's order refusing MPC access to voir dire and the transcript of the voir dire proceedings. The trial court relied upon Tennessee Supreme Court Rule 30 to close the jury selection proceedings. And Rule 30 is media guidelines. It cited Rule 30 C2, which provides that media coverage of jury selection is prohibited, and Section D2, which provides in part that the presiding judge has the discretion to refuse, limit, terminate, or temporarily suspend media coverage of an entire case or portions thereof in order to, one, control the conduct of the proceedings before the court, two, maintain decorum and prevent distractions, and three, guarantee the safety of any party, witness, or juror, and four, ensure the fair administration of justice in the pending case. What the trial judge overlooked, however, is that Rule 30 pertains to broadcast and recording media coverage of court proceedings. Coverage is specifically defined in the rule to mean any recording or broadcasting of a court proceeding by the media using television, radio, photographic, or recording equipment. Supreme Court Rule 30B1, in this case, MPC sought to have its employees attend and report on the court proceedings. Rule 30 does not apply to the print coverage. Because the request for access did not seek to record photographed or broadcast the proceedings, Rule 13 was inapplicable. We have reviewed the appendix filed with the application for permission to appeal and can find no justification for the closing of jury selection proceedings in this trial proceeding. See State versus James in Tennessee in 95, which discusses the closure of juvenile proceedings and holding that the court shall not close proceedings unless it determines that failure to do so would result in particularized prejudice to the party seeking closure that would override the public's compelling interest in open proceedings. That is all they have, you guys. Oh, wait. There's one last little part of the paragraph. So, in stating that before closure of the proceeding may occur, the party seeking to close the hearing must advance an overriding interest that is likely to be prejudiced. Accordingly, the orders of the Court of Appeals and trial court are reversed. The order denying NBC access to voir dire and a transcript of voir dire is vacated. So they eventually allowed them to look into it, but it's like, okay, so where is the information? So let me see. I'm gonna look up NPC Coretta D. Jowers. Okay, so I've got something in case text. So this is the same thing. So this order was basically, this is a case brought before, what I just read was basically what they brought before the court to be able to get the get access to the case. But that's what this just brought up as well, case text. So it's not anything different. And so did this one. You guys, I really had to look for this thing. Like, this took a long time. But I've got it. A complete transcript of the Martin Luther King Jr. assassination conspiracy trial. It's 2,735 pages. And, dude, I could only find this, like, one place online. But it reads in here that the government was guilty. Or at least that jurors found them to be guilty. Look here. It literally reads, "All right, ladies and gentlemen." Okay, the court. "I have authorized this gentleman here to take one picture of you, which I'm going to have developed and make copies and send to you as I promised." Okay. "All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you, do all of you agree with this verdict?" And the jury replies yes in unison. The court, in answer to the question, did Lloyd Jowers participate in a conspiracy to do harm to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Well, they didn't put Jr. But your answer is yes. "Do you all find that others, including governmental and agencies, were parties to this conspiracy as alleged by the defendant? Your answer to that one is also yes. And the total amount of damages you find for the plaintiffs entitled to is $100. Is that your verdict?" Yes. In unison, the jury responds. So, hey guys, all right, I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your participation. Babe, this is not brand new. I don't know how reliable this archive, this usarchive.org is, but this type of stuff is not, and this is the only place I can find this. This is not brand new, and I downloaded it because I was like, hell no, bitch. This is not brand new. This is what people are doing. These officials over here in freaking, is it Oklahoma? I think it is. were just exposed for, you know, saying that they wanted to kill people, that they want to bring lynching back, that they want to, you know, just like that Tennessee representative, that they want to hang people, and they, you know, black people are insignificant to them. This is what's going on. Like, who are the officials? I need to look that up real quick, because, like, we need to know who these types of people are. So the county commissioner is one of them, and he just resigned after calls for them to resign by the governor of Oklahoma. The McCurtain County officials, and they include McCurtain County Sheriff Kevin Clardy, Captain Alicia Manning. So the captain was it, you know, one of the people who said this. The sheriff and the captain. District 2 Commissioner Mark Jennings and Jail Administrator Larry Hendricks. This is... this is crazy. Because it's just like, these are the people who are in charge of the people in this county, not just people behind bars. These people run things. These people can get you put behind bars so that they can run your life. For real. And they're running around here saying they want to lynch people. They want to hang people. Back in my day, we were hanging people. The dude who said that is like, you know, was born in the 50s. Born in the 50s. Just like that video everybody's been seeing roll around TikTok and on YouTube and stuff of, you know, the white family or white families that were talking about, you know, black people moving in. I think it was the Myers family moving into their white neighborhood. I mean, it's insane. It's insane to think of, like, how we don't even know what's really going on. But you can imagine that it's 3 to 10 times worse than what we just discovered. This is what we know about these people and about these systems and what goes on behind closed doors with a lot of these people. This is what we know. But there's a saying, and I don't remember exactly how it goes, but it's basically like, if this is what you know of a situation and what's been revealed and discovered or exposed, then the mess is really a mess, because it's 10 times, it's 3 times, it's 5 times bigger than that, because it's only a fraction of what really is going on behind the scenes. When you pull the curtain back just like a smidge, and you only see, like, and you see a whole bunch of fucking wires and crazy shit, that's not only in that little section. All them wires and all that crazy shit that you see is probably taking up the majority of what's behind that curtain. You know? It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. These people are ridiculous. So they really wanted to sit here and be these high up people in the county talking like this. And you got to know, these are high up people. So of course we know that the whole culture over in these departments, in these places where law enforcement takes place, are completely corrupt, because they're getting it from their leaders. They're getting passed down racism and stuff like that from their leaders. And they're going to walk right past this and act like they're going to wipe over it and act like they can just put someone else in charge and everything will be normal. And we could just act like everything's normal and there are no problems with the force over here. We don't need to look into anything else. Meanwhile, they do need to look into everything else, because including how many people were wrongfully imprisoned, how many people were treated like scum because these people want to put them in an electric chair or put them in a chair and kick a chair from underneath them. Whatever the fuck these hoes were talking about. because people think that they are insignificant, like Alicia Manning, who was the captain, who had the nerve to sit here and act like she could care less about the black people in her county. She could care less. It's just crazy. It's just like, I'm so sick of people acting like they don't want to hear about racism and discrimination when it's like, it rules everything. You all made this system. You made this system. And you can act like you're not the ones who made the system, but you made this system. You all made this system, whether you want to blame it on your ancestors or take credit for it. So you need to wake up and understand that you are the ones who have to deal with this. You know what I'm saying? You're the ones who have to deal with the repercussions of your actions. And there was a system created by white people that was implemented and is still being implemented all over the world. A caste system so deep, racism and imperialism and colonialism so deep that it installed caste systems in every single country. To the point where every single country, you can bet your bottom dollar and everything else, bitch. You can bet your bottom, your top, and anything in between, baby, that these people in whatever place you go to are going to prefer a lighter skinned person. That the people they see as most attractive in their society are the lightest of the people there. In almost any culture all over the world. Japan, my Japanese teacher told me about that when I was in high school. You know, my, we called her Miyazaki Sensei. She told us that the beauty standards in Japan are basically like white European, Eurocentric standards. Long legs, pale skin, tall people, wide eyes, things that are not the norm and the natural thing over there. That's what she said. You know? It's just crazy. Japan, China, India, Brazil, anywhere in Central and Latin America, America, North, you know, the United States of America, Korea, South Korea, Europe, anywhere. I just saw a TikTok of this black man who was like, he was just walking across the street to go to his car after already being inconvenienced by something that happened. And he was trying to enjoy his day. And some kid was in front of him. He had to wait for a second for the kid to go by on his bike. And when the light turned green, he spit on the black man, like just hawked a loogie and spit. And sped off on his bike like a little bitch. It's beyond insane the things that people will do, you know? And you know that these people would never spit on an older person, you know what I'm saying, who is white. They wouldn't spit on an older white person, one of their elders. They know better. They definitely know better. But they'll do that to a black person because they feel, they know, they've been taught that it is okay. And that's what shows that people understand what kind of a society we live in. You know we live in a racist society. You just have a hard time breaking out of your cultural norms that you're taught about accepting all of the things that happen to people who are not white. You know, like, it's crazy. I mean, you should see the transcript. If you want to see the transcript of the county commissioner's meeting where all of this stuff took place, there is a link that will direct you to it in the description of this video, in the description of this podcast. So you can just go ahead and click that or copy and paste it. But I'll give you a little bit of it. The sheriff, right, says, anyway, you know, we wrap it up in tin foil to preserve the body and stuff like that. And Dot kept them, all the body part, stuff like that. Anyway, Tyler was out there. And Jenny's like, oh, body parts, she come apart. And Sheriff's like, yeah, some parts of body. And then Heather, whoever she is, joins in and she's like, they really fall apart when they're burnt. And Larry replies, yeah, you never had barbecue. Or you never had barbecue? The sheriff is like, that's another thing. And Heather's like, yeah. And Larry's like, same thing. And Beck's like, I'm hungry. This is them talking about a burn victim. I'm sorry, it took me a minute. This is them talking about a burn victim, a woman who died in a fire in their community. They were all talking over each other, and the sheriff says, so we get her in the body bag, and Kyler goes, you do know what we got to do now, right? Faith goes, no, what? He goes, you got to preheat the oven 350 degrees, leave her in there for 15 minutes. And she went, vomit sounds, laughter. Bless her heart, it was. And then the medical examiner asked her, said, hey, we're fixing to go eat. And he looked her in the face and said, you want to go with me and go eat barbecue? And there was big laughter after the sheriff said this. So that part's titled Barbecue. And it just goes on. I mean, like, you know, the racist things they talked about in these meetings, like, it's really messed up. I'll give you one thing that Jennings said. It's like somebody wanting this job, they don't realize, like, your job. I heard it the other day, said I heard 12 people were going to, for sheriff. I said, fuck, let's get 20. They don't have a goddamn clue what they're getting into. Not this day and age. I'm going to tell you something. If it was back in the day, when Alan Marston would take a damn black guy and whoop their ass and throw him in the cell, I'd run for fucking sheriff. So he's saying he'd run for sheriff if you could still beat black people. Beat their asses and throw them in a cell. He even goes on to say, I know, take them down to Mud Creek and hang them up with a damn rope. But you can't do that anymore. They got more rights than we got. So this is the type of stuff that you all need to know, that they think about us and that they think about. I'm telling you, they think because they can't string us up with a rope that we have more rights than they do, because they can't hang us, y'all, because they can't hang us. This is what we be saying. We know what it looks like. We know what it feels like to experience what we experience and to go through this. We know this. We know all of this. But y'all, there's a lot of y'all out here who keep pretending that you don't want to see this. And it's like, you already see it. You already see it. You see this stuff. You hear your people. I know you all be in white places and white spaces, and you hear people when you're in a space where it's completely white, and you may be around some older people, you have heard the things that they say. You've heard the things that your peers say. You know what you talk about. But a lot of people don't want to admit that shit. A lot of them just don't want to admit it. Because if they were to admit it, then they would be, the jig would be up, and they couldn't continue to do what they're doing as easily as they can now, that they deny it. Because there are so many stupid people out here who just want to be given a bone, that they'll let you deny anything, you know? They'll go along with whatever white people say. And for some reason, they always find themselves going with the racist white people, you know? The most racist white people. Like, it's like, coons can't just, like, be around white people. They can't be around good white people. It's got to be the racist. But it's because of the culture. You know what I'm saying? It's because of the culture. And it makes sense. People are being punked out, you know? I was punked out back in the day when I was a kid. Running around here believing, you know, what people, you know, try to punk you out with. You know, these white older people and white people even your age, you know, will walk up to you and or they'll sit next to you at some place or whatever, and they'll just start droning on about, you know, back in the day, this, that, and the third used to happen. And you know what they mean. Or it ain't the same as it used to be no more. You know? But it's like back when it was those ways, you were complaining about shit back then too. It's just crazy. It's just ridiculous. I think all of the cases that these people have been involved with, all of the people who have made accusations on these people, everything needs to be investigated. Every person they arrested, every police officer they trained, every black officer they turned away from the force, every single thing about these people needs to be examined and investigated. But I'm Lynn Ferguson, also known as Lynn Tennyson, your host here on the show, and I want to see you next time with Chump Time. Thanks.